Here we go, everybody. Morning Coffee Notes. It's the 14th of May, 2005. And here's Dixie. You get ready. Get ready to party down, everybody. Everybody, that was the song that I was, that was the MIDI that I was trying to get to play the other day, and I don't know what was going wrong. I mean, it wasn't music MIDI day here at the beach, because today I went to the site and I thought, okay, you know, I've got to get this music to play. It's like, that's going to make me feel happy. And so I went to the site and thought, oh, okay, I'll fiddle around some here and there, whatever. And I clicked on play, and gosh, it didn't start playing. So what the hell's going on there? Anyway, let's do that one more time. This is a song I was trying to get to play the other day, and spent, God knows, 40 minutes on a podcast trying to make that music happen, and it just didn't happen. And today, of course, there it is. So I only put the Arcos down. So that's how I'm doing, recording like about half of my podcasts are being recorded these days via Arcos, and the other half I'm just doing on my laptop. So here we go. Let's do one more time. Oh, wish I was in the land of cotton, old times there, and I've forgotten. Look away, look away, look away, Dixieland. I wish I was in the land of cotton, old times there, and I've forgotten. Look away, look away, look away, Dixieland. I wish I was a Dixie, hooray, hooray. In Dixieland, I'll take my stand to live and die in Dixie. Away, away, away down south in Dixie. Away, away, away down south in Dixie, in Dixie. Okay, one more time. Land of cotton, old times there are not forgotten. Look away, look away, look away, Dixieland. I wish I was the land of cotton. Was there and not forgotten. Look away, look away. Look away, Dixieland. I wish I was Dixie. Hooray, hooray. In Dixieland, I'll take my stand to live and die in Dixie. Away, away, away down south in Dixie. Away, away, away down south in Dixie. Yep, there's nothing like singing a beautiful song on a Saturday morning. So, anyway, what's on my mind this morning is, what should I do on KYOU? Well, that kind of rhymes. Let's try that again. What should I do on KYOU? And I don't even know if it's important. I mean, I asked for feedback on this on podcatch.com. And, you know, what was funny about it was, you know, sort of two schools of thought. You know, I should try to do something kind of unnatural and just sort of like do a lot of mixing and integrating and whatnot. And you know, that isn't what I do. And I'm going to trust the guys at KYOU to do that, and that they sort of have a pretty good idea of what to present on day one of, you know, podcast as a broadcast thing. And that, you know, if they wanted me to do that, well, they would have asked me to do that. And frankly, it ain't what I do. I mean, I got an email today from Rogers Cadenhead, who's my neighbor in Florida here, and a friend. And it's kind of one of those funny things where Rogers wrote, there's like exactly one book on Radio Userland in the world. And Rogers wrote it. And Rogers lives like 10 minutes away from where I live, on the beach. And you know, you might think, well, you know, I just chose this place because it was so close to where you know, Rogers lives, but that's not true. I chose this place because this is where I've been coming for 30 years, and I like it here, and I feel comfortable here. And So, you know, that's the old theory about there's a little bit of God in like everything in our lives. And you know, how did Rogers come to live in St. Augustine? And there, you know, how did he end up living here? I don't know. I'll have to ask him someday. How did you choose this particular place, this beach, Rogers? And you know, that's, I don't know. How did he choose it? Anyway, and in case you can't place Rogers, not only did he write the Radio Userland book, but he also was the guy who registered the Pope Benedict XVI site and was on the Today Show and every you know, MSNBC and local stations, and he became a media star and became famous for his hair. He's got very thick hair for a guy his age. It's gray hair, and people were all the big controversy was, hey, yo, Rogers, is that your hair? And then people don't get that his name is Rogers, and Rogers Cadenhead. And it was funny because Rex Hammock, Rex Hammock was posting on Rogers's site talking about me, and somebody pointed out, he says, Dave has friends who sound like they were in a mystery novel or a detective novel. And you know, I guess the, you know, Rex Hammock does sound a little, and it, you know, why does Rex Hammock sound that way? Rogers Cadenhead too, but Rex Hammock because it sounds like Dashiell Hammett, right? And you know, there you go. So I'm gonna sort of nix the idea of doing the roundup. You know, if I was gonna do the roundup, well, you know, who would I put in there? I'd put in the podcasts that I listen to, and you know, it's a small field, you know. I would sur and I would put in I would like to see, like, you know, I and then the question came up, and you know, what do I listen to? I listen to IT Conversations basically. Doug, thanks so much. Steve Gilmore, get your ass going, because man, I miss the Gilmore gang. Doc Searls, you ought to be podcasting. And the whole Gilmore gang, you know, basically, I just like the dynamics of that thing. And even though I thought that they were, well, they were getting there. I mean, they were like, you know, if they were still doing it, you know, if they hadn't like taken their hiatus the way that Steve did, I think that they would have gotten to the PISA podcast that I did a few days ago. I think they would have gotten there. They realized that unconferences and podcasting and blogs and into monoculture and making money on the internet, and then all these things are all, and then, you know, throw in the Clue Train Manifesto, which Doc was co-author of, and you got a whole sort of like, it's not about the long tail, for crying out loud. The long tail is like, the thing about the long tail is that it's a statistician's dream, you know. It's like, oh, I finally found a way I can measure this. And no, that's point number one. Point number two is, I can put myself at the top of the pyramid. And that, you know, like, that's why it's such a hit with the reporters. They love it because it says, well, you know, if they're out in the tail, that means that I'm up here and I got a pretty good deal because I'm up here, which, you know, it's 20th century thinking. It's a transitional idea. It's sort of like, how do you explain the idea of the citizens, you know, being their own media? And by the way, the political system, of course, falls under this as well. And, you know, you will see the House of Representatives will be filled with bloggers in, you know, 10 years. And what the guys say is, oh, well, you can never get a candidate to blog. I said, no, of course not. Of course you can't get a candidate to blog. And they say, well, where's your great vision then? And I say, well, it's kind of like what I said in Making Money, How to Make Money on the Internet version 2.0. I said it's easier to teach a user to be a manufacturer than it is for a manufacturer to become a user. And so the same thing, just change manufacturer to politician. It's like, it's easier for a user to become a politician than for a politician to become a user. And that's the problem. That's what we've always been seeing is our disconnect between us and our leaders, is that, you know, once they become politicians, then they're no longer users. They're no longer like in the system. They're insulated from the system. They have this sense of elevation from the system, and therefore we don't get the government that we need. You know, we don't get leadership. We don't get problem solved. We end up, you know, driving ourselves off of political and economic and social environmental cliffs. And, you know, eventually we're going to be suffocating in our own fumes here pretty soon. And I don't hear any Rush Limbaugh guys telling us, explaining to me exactly how we're going to, like, avoid that. You know, they're not scientists, they're sort of anti-scientist and anti-intellectual. Frank, most of them still don't even believe in evolution. And I'd like to know how you're going to solve the problems of our planet when you don't even accept science. You know, like, it's just like daunting, whatever. Anyway, where the hell was I? yeah, so Rogers, let's pop the stack all the way back. Rogers says, well, why don't you become the Dick Cavett of the podcasting world? To which I say, yeah, you know, I could do that really well. I love to ask people questions, and I love to hear what they have to say. I like pointing to people. I like reading what they have to say. You know, I can't tell you how many times, you know, I get an email from somebody and I want to say, geez, this is really good. Why did you send me an email? Why didn't you post that on the web so that I could point to it so everybody else could read it? So, you know, yeah, it's sort of like in my genes. It's sort of in my upbringing. It's the way I think, you know. And y'all, Rogers also said something really charming, really nice about me that I really like. He said that he knows how to order his unsweet tea. Took a while. I mean, they told me, you could ask Ed Cohn, as I was headed south on my first trip south, in this sort of grand tour that I'm doing. It's a continuing tour of the United States that just won't quit. He explained to me how to order iced tea in restaurants. He said, first of all, you don't have to call it iced tea. You can just call it tea. Because there's, like, if you want to order the other kind of tea, you say hot tea. Because, and you know, if you think about it, it makes sense. In Boston, tea is hot because Boston's cold most of the time, okay? Or, like, it gets really cold, and hot tea is, you know, it's important. You got to be drinking your hot tea or hot coffee or hot something to get yourself warm. Well, you know, it does get cold in the South at times, but that isn't the predominant thing. Predominantly, it's hot. And, you know, iced tea, for whatever reason, is really, really refreshing. And it's got the caffeine kick to it, and it's kind of nice. I love my iced tea, but I don't like sugar. I just don't like it. When I was a kid, it's the one thing I gave up to try to, you know, I gave it up. I used to drink sugared soft drinks, when I was in my 20s and early 30s, and then I wanted to like lose weight when I was in my early to mid 30s, and I found that I could give up sugar and not really miss it, you know, and so I started drinking Diet Pepsi and then started drinking Diet Coke, and so I don't like sweet tea, although I have had a sip of it. Boy, is it sweet. I mean, it's like you wonder why the sugar just doesn't like precipitate out of it, you know, and because it is so incredibly sweet. So Rogers wrote, he says, you know, Dave's becoming a, you know, he's becoming a passable, I mean, he didn't quite say it. This is what I heard. He's becoming a passable Southerner. And I like that. He says, you know, he can almost say y'all without like embarrassing himself. You know, yeah. You know, it's like I like to think that I could do that before because I went to college in New Orleans, which is deep south, and there are a lot of Southerners in, you know, in New Orleans. It's a Southern city, and so I always felt like, and one of my slogans was Namaste y'all, y'all, Namaste y'all, because what I wanted to say is that I got a little bit of the New Age from California. I got a lot of the New Age from California, okay, but I'm an American. I'm an American. I'm an American. Good old USA, and I can sing Dixie, albeit not like, you know, Burt Reynolds. Of course, Burt Reynolds probably isn't the guy to be thinking of about singing stuff. You know, it goes back to my point about like who gives a shit if you're the best. You know, I think about what Charles Cooper wrote. Charles Cooper doesn't get it. Charles, my man. Charles, you need to like really study up on this whole idea of. It's not the long tail, schmucko. It's about this whole sea of information that you live in, and how the hell is it being created? You know, I talked about this in the Peace of Podcast, which I hope everybody listens to. Really, I put it all into that. I put it all into it. You got to listen to it, okay? Is that, you know, you got this conundrum where we want more information on the one hand, but on the other hand, the newspapers are shrinking. So tell me, how are we getting that information? We're doing it for ourselves is what's happening. That's what's happening. It's love of data. It's love of information. It's love of being informed. We've become information junkies in this world that we live in the online world. If you use the web, you've discovered how beautiful information can be and how powerful it can be. And we're just beginning to appreciate that. And so going back to Rogers' email, Rogers said, well, why don't you become the Dick Cavett of podcasting? I said, yes, I'd love to, but we have yet to work out the kinks in Skype. Skype is the mission critical killer app of podcasting. It really is. It's the one we're all waiting for. It's sure Podscope was something that it's good to have it because now it addresses one of the criticisms of podcasting that people have is that, you know, you can't ego surf on a podcast. How can I tell if somebody's talking about me? Well, Podscope took care of that. They understand the spoken word and transcribe podcasts into text and then let you search them. So, you know, bing, check that one off. Ka-ching, you know. Let me see. Check. That's the sound. Like that. Check it off. It's done. You don't have to worry about that one. But the one we're really waiting for, the more prosaic one, it really seems like a shame that we don't have it. First of all, we're waiting for the bugs. We're waiting for Skype to get truly reliable, okay? I mean, a really reliable Skype would be like, and it's getting better. And I don't know if it's like they're making the software better. Actually, it can be because I haven't like downloaded a new Skype in a while. I think it's just that the network gets more saturated. We get more Skype users. And as we get more Skype users, Skype gets better because it's decentralized. It's using all of our wires to hop from here to wherever it is we're going. And it's a marvel. But there's one more thing that we need from Skype, and then we're done. And then we're ready to shoot into the next sort of dimension of podcasting, which is we need the ability to record to MP3. It doesn't need to be a direct record to MP3. It could be recording to a WAV file as an intermediate. So it doesn't have to do the compression on the fly if it can't do the compression on the fly. You think about it, it's like there's this data is flowing through this application. So all that we're missing is the ability for that application to capture the data. And doesn't seem like it could be all that difficult to do. So would love to do that, Rogers. It would be great. It would be really cool to be able to do that. So, and I'm sure at some point that's exactly what's going to be happening. I would love to have a talk show. I'd love to just say, you know, let's give Rogers a call right now and see if he's there and, you know, ask him a couple of questions and then say, well, you know, we got to go and I'll call Ed Cohn. I'll say, Ed Cohn, could you give the folks a tutorial on how to order iced tea at a restaurant in the South? What do you say? How do you sound like a Southerner? Yeah. Or how do you at least not like sound too ridiculous as a Southerner, as a non-Southerner existing in the South? Or why do we care even? Well, we care because we remember about those civil rights workers from in Philadelphia, Mississippi, and the South. You know, South has a reputation for being a badass place. And, you know, it's not completely undeserved. A lot of the people that I knew here when I used to come here as a kid, a lot of them are dead. And it's not because they were living particularly healthy lifestyles. It's not, they didn't die of old age, okay? Because they weren't that old. They just died because this can be a really hard living place. And, So then the question, well, what should I do on my podcast, on the broadcast podcast, which we need a contraction for, the broadcast, yeah, we'll figure it out. you know, one of the ones that I thought of doing, you know, is let's go back to the beginning. Let's go to, you know, Casso, who's doing the Podbat software, said, you know, some of the ones that I did on the road, and I'm not sure if he was talking about, like, on the road in August of 2004, and I would be on the Trans-Canada Highway. There were some really, like, great moments, I thought, there. I loved driving on that highway. It just had such nice energy. I wish the highway went on for, like, 25,000 miles. I wish that highway went around the world. It would be great. It's just exactly the kind of highway you like to stretch out and do lots of miles on. If you ever have a few extra days going cross-country, you know, head north and go across in Canada. You won't be disappointed. It's really beautiful. It's kind of empty. And the Canadians are really nice. And they even are nice to Americans. God knows why. So that was one option. Another one was the sound seeing tour that I did of Boston during the Democratic National Convention. I thought it was kind of interesting. We went from Copley Square, where we went to get our blogging press badge. We took the T, which is the mass transit, the train in Boston, over to Haymarket Square, which is by Faneuil Hall. And I interviewed a delegate from Iowa, a very young woman, who was just fascinating. I forget who she was, an Edwards delegate, I forget who she was a delegate for. It's on the podcast, though. It's on the show. And it was kind of cool. I did some from the booth, from the blogging booth at the in the sky box at the at the Fleet Center, which is where the convention was held. I did one with Rebecca Blood, which was very short, but really totally a God cast. Completely God was in there. That was a good one. Then Steve Gilmore's favorite is the one in September where I explained why I was releasing the Frontier Kernel as open source and what my goals were and sort of the philosophy of it. I had a story to go with it. There was a story on Reuters, I think, or AP, one of the wire services, about a 108-year-old man who took up smoking again. And somebody had sent him a box of Cuban cigars or something. And he had stopped smoking, not because he wanted to be healthy, but because he couldn't afford to. And, you know, he sort of said, well, you know, I'm 108 years old. Why the hell shouldn't I smoke? And, you know. And so that was my story. My story was, well, you know, Frontier has been around for so long. It's been through so much. It's gone commercial, non-commercial. It's been a scripting system for the Mac. It's been a cross-platform thing. It's been the runtime environment for Manila. It was the spawning ground of the whole blogging thing started inside of Frontier. The content management system in Frontier was the sort of lizard brain of the blogging world. You go back and look at the original bloggers in like 1997 and 1998, they were all using it. It was where XMRPC got its start, it was where Soap did it, it was where RSS got its start. I mean, it has really served us well. And then, you know, when I got sick in 2002, it became really clear that I couldn't work on it anymore, and I couldn't and be healthy, and or be like what this, you know, or be alive. Actually, healthy isn't really an option. Alive is the option. Excuse me, he coughs. Reasonably healthy for a person of my condition, and it was pretty clear that Userland, in its new incarnation, was just never going to get around to doing anything with the kernel. I still don't believe they are. Maybe they will. I don't know. You know, maybe they will. But, and so I thought, I want this thing to continue. I don't want it, because there's a lot of good stuff in Frontier that, you know, the idea of an object database and Outliner as an editor for scripts, the way RPC over the internet is integrated into the environment. That's just like some of the things that are just, you just don't see them anywhere else. And they're important ideas. They eventually will be core ideas in the way programming works. And so I did a podcast that explained that, and then that podcast should go with the kernel wherever it goes and should explain to them why I did things the way I did them. And they, honestly, I think that the podcast should survive me, as should the kernel survive me. These things should have a life independent of their creator. And then I thought maybe, well, some of the trade secrets that we did, those were pretty good. And then there's the Thunderstorm podcast. And it's only 17 minutes long, but it kind of gets there. And then there's the Pisa podcast, which they say sort of builds too slowly to play on the radio, but I don't know. I mean, it's, podcasting isn't fast, you know, and that's the thing that I think that you want to be wary of. If you're going to try to adapt podcasting to radio, and if your goal is to speed it up and you know, sort of jazz it up, sex it up, or whatever you want to put it, to make it like radio, it's really not going to be good radio that way. You know, so something that's a little slower is not such a terrible thing. So I kind of thought that one was pretty good. And then there was one that I did on the road in Alabama that was pretty good. I thought might be a good one to use. Or then I thought maybe I'll just like go take a little mini road trip tomorrow. Drive over to Orlando or something like that, and to Gainesville, or maybe even as far as Tallahassee, and find a Starbucks and upload the damn thing. Do it while I'm driving, you know. You know, I don't really feel like doing it, though. It's sort of like, I think you should do what you feel like. I think a podcast should have something to do with what you feel like. And maybe this is the one. I don't think I've used too many four-letter words in this one, and God knows I did open with a song, and I don't think that the song, we'll have to check it out. Is Dixie in the public domain? Do we have to play, do we have to pay a cover fee to play that? I don't know. It's on a government website. I mean, who knows? But, you know, I figure you play it once, play it again, right? So, let's see how long we've been going here. I don't think it's been anything like 40 minutes. No, it's 25 minutes seems to be the new length. We're 27 minutes and 44 seconds. So, I think that if we play Dixie, if we play Dixie one or two times now, we're going to hit 30 minutes. And I'm going to say that's a really good podcast. And up we go! Right? That was, I don't know who the hell I was talking about. That wasn't Southern, was it? Yeah. Okay, everybody. So we're going to go out on a note of Dixie here. And I don't know, tune in tomorrow if you find out what the hell the podcast of KYU, the first broadcast podcast in the great old U.S. of A. is going to be. You'll find out what it is when I find out. Okay. Anyway, hope you're all doing great. Have a great Saturday. Have a great Sunday. Have a, you know, great rest of the weekend, great rest of your life. Here is Dixie. Oh, I wish I was in the land of cotton, old times there, and I've forgotten. Look away, Dixieland, Dixieland, where I was born. South of Dixie, away, away, away down south of Dixie.